Hello, this is the Young Flamingo Club. I am Justin Purser, and I'm here with my co-host, the Master of Disaster. Montana, Mindy, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm really glad after your third take, you finally crushed it.
Oh man, now you're letting them in on our secret that took me three takes to get this intro right.
Well, let's be honest, it did take you three takes, and you know, whatever. I mean, you know, sometimes it takes us a little more. Whatever. Anyways, I'm Montana Mendez from the Young Flamingo Club. Justin, what do you think about this episode? I think this is insanity, to be honest.
I'm going to get this done in one take. So, it's crazy. It starts off very, you know, pedestrian, pretty normal, pretty vanilla for Young Flamingo Club. And then I just want to say, right. this is a term I never use, but like, holy shit, Tom Clancy. It just goes to a whole other level. Sam Pink, renowned author and our guest, he just unleashes the dragon like Cisco.
Yeah, just like Cisco, you know, with the hair dye and everything. And, you know, this makes me, after listening to this episode, want to go into a forest for 30 years, come back out only once, and that one time I come out, just say, hello, and then go back into the forest for another, you know, 30, 40 years, where then I then perish. And then, you know, I leave my kids with one photo of myself staring into a fire with long hair.
You know, I actually completely forgot about that story. I forgot that he tells that tale in a manner. I was just so focused on the Tom Clancy beatdown. So let's just tell our guests, like, you know, you're going to want to make it towards the end of this episode. Like, you're not going to want to click out, because when it really begins, you're going to want to like listen to this, because let's just say it's the craziest episode we've ever had. I'll say that.
Let's put it this way. I mean, look, guys, usually you're in the Young Flamingo Club, right? You got one seatbelt on. Okay. That's fine. That's fine for most cases. This time you got two. You got two seatbelts on. Okay. So this is what we're dealing with.
It's great you did that so that we let them know to like actually be prepared, and, you know, maybe soft safety goggles, seatbelts, just buckle up, because this is quite a ride.
I like buckle up. And you know what? Speaking of safety, I would like to congratulate Dr. Ted Rose from the WHO, World Health Organization. He just got off vacation from Tonga. All the shirts that he was wearing were awesome. I tried to get them on Etsy. I couldn't find them. But you know what? If anyone deserves a vacation, it is Dr. Ted Rose. And thank you, Ted Rose, for everything. And we are in this episode, like we said, going to be buckling up, not once, not twice, maybe even three times. And I just, you know, we're kind of on that safety topic. So I just wanted to say congratulations on coming back from your vacation.
Yeah, the WHO, the WHO, you know, not only my favorite health organization, but they were a hell of a band. And speaking of a hell of a band, how about we play this tune that we're about to play?
Yeah, remember where it is? I have to tell you every episode.
Yeah. So now what I've done is I painted it pink, the button. So I got it right here.
All right. So you totally got rid of the actual live flamingo that we actually had on the. Okay. That's better. That's better. Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. You ready? I'm gonna press play.
I would definitely cut someone's face off and eat it right now. You could do your own thing finally. And people were like, here's my top 10 movie, Tom Clancy. If you're listening to this, I'm going to fuck your ass up. It's weird, but I don't really cry that much, man. I feel like it'd probably be good if I did.
The Young Flamingo Club. Young Flamingo Club.
Welcome to the Young Flamingo Club, episode 12. And I got this episode number right. Past couple of ones, I think I've been getting them wrong. Today, we have an extraordinary guest. That's all we book. We don't book anything less, obviously. Sam Pink, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on the Young Flamingo Club.
Of course, man. And, you know, we enjoy having you on the Young Flamingo Club. We are now going to check on the co-host, Justin. He has this weird thing. He likes to be a new character every episode. Justin, what are you doing
today? I am going to pretend that I am Cookie Monster from Sesame Street.
Okay. So, I mean, that's something, I mean, you do even on your off time. So that's not really new. Okay.
Yeah, it's not that new. I'm actually, you know what I'm doing? I'm actually looking at my Amazon orders. I ordered Sam's book, The Ice Cream Man and Other Stories. And I was reading about Sam before we recorded, and I was reading the synopsis of this book, and it sounds really interesting. And I love the cover. It's very colorful and kind of 70s-esque.
The artist is named Ben Steyer. I recommend that people look up his work. He's exquisite.
I like that word, exquisite.
He's an exquisite man.
All right. So, Sam, I got to say, I like your books, obviously. Ron Tao. I mean, there's so many. I seriously can't name them all. I read about three of them. A lot of people I read, like specifically about you, that you are a minimalist when it comes to writing. Do you still stand by kind of like there is no minimalist, there is no maximist or maximalist? Like, what are your thoughts on that now? Because this interview was, I don't know, I think a little older.
Yeah, I still stand by that. I don't think anybody's doing more than they think they need to do. And I don't think anybody's doing less than they think they need to do, you know, when they set out to write something.
Yeah, totally. I think they're kind of in a gray area. And I mean, I guess it's really kind of goes into my next question. I mean, now let's get into the book, Siddhartha. Is it true that you stopped reading it after one page?
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. I would imagine I could read it now. I don't know. I don't know why I think that, but I feel kind of strongly about that. I'm not like commenting on that book as a whole. I mean, like at that time when I tried to read it, I read one page and then stopped reading it.
I feel like there was an era, I mean, in like 2013 to 2017, where people, I guess you can kind of say in your circle, they don't like to use Facebook. They don't like to use other social media. It's all Twitter all the time. And David Fishkind put it into words like, I can express myself in a limited amount of words, which makes me more selective, or something to that degree. I mean, is that why you picked Twitter, your social platform of choice?
I didn't have Twitter for a long time. And then like around maybe 2015, I think it was, somebody who had read my books or whatever, and I kind of knew, emailed me and was talking about like, you should have a Twitter and an Instagram, like those are the things or whatever. And so I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't have a smartphone or whatever. I don't mess with Twitter, you know, whatever. And she was like, well, what if I do it for you? And you just send me this shit, you know? And I was like, well, that sounds cool, you know? So that's how that started. And then I got a smartphone and now I do it. But I don't think about it in terms of like expressing myself. I feel like it's almost impossible to express yourself on that platform. So like personally, I really only view it as a way to sell books and paintings. And that's pretty much it. And like, if people want to like contact me and talk like via like a message or whatever, then that too. Like, it's just an easy way for people to find me in some way, you know? If I was like, dude, don't put your opinion on the internet. Like, it doesn't fucking matter, man. Like, everyone, like, it's like, you could do your own thing finally. And people were like, here's my top 10 movies.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's good. Hold on one sec. I'm going to delete my my top 10 movies that I just posted. Okay. All right.
You're deleting that? you do that a lot.
So anyways, yeah, I feel similar to you. Like I scroll through my Facebook and I've even posted before that, you know, it just makes me angry. Like everyone's just posts make me angry, but you know, people just, that's just what they do. So I try to, you know, not be so angry. And
oh yeah. No, like, don't get me wrong, man. Like, go for it.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
I don't
mean
that. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to shut that shit down, but for me, it's like...
shut it down.
I don't think... I wouldn't use that shit if it weren't for being like, here's a poem or whatever, you know?
So that's interesting how you got on social media. So somebody contacted you, and so what would you do? You would email this girl, and then she would tweet for you?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it's pretty funny. Like, this happened a couple times. It would be like... I would have to go to the library and then scan whatever the thing was, you know?
This is amazing.
And then Yeah. It's funny now that I'm thinking about it, it's like so much nicer. Like, that makes being on Twitter or something sound so fun. You're like relaying a message to someone and then they're whatever. Yeah. But yeah, that was, so I'd have to like go to the library and scan like a drawing and they'd be like, can you please post this?
So what was the turnaround time from the time you went to the library, scanned the image, emailed it to her?
I like that you're interested in that. That's pretty good.
It's cool because it makes me think. So, you know, we've developed this new part of our podcast called Flamingo Financial, and it's where we give, you know, business advice. So, you know, or come up with new.
Nice, dude. That's for me, man. I'm bad with that shit. So hit me with that.
Okay. So here's what it is. I think it's, you know, this is a new business we could start together, the three of us. You know, this is Flamingo Financial right here. We start a service where if you don't like to tweet, we'll tweet for you with that same process, though. You have to go to a public library. You have to upload it and scan it and then email it to us. And then we will tweet for you. I think this is a multi-billion-dollar industry we're about to create.
Okay. So look, you start going to the library. You start printing stuff out. I mean, do you leave the library like, you know, you're clutching like, you know, 100 sheets of paper? And, you know, maybe you go to FedEx Kinko's after and maybe laminate some stuff. I mean, has that ever been like your day?
Now that you mentioned it, it's really, it's actually bringing back a lot of shit, man. Yeah. Like back in the day, I'd have to go to, the FedEx, man, and print your shit out. You know what I mean? Like you put your card in the machine and you're like using the computer, you know, and you print it. And then actually this is kind of funny, but like, there's a place in Chicago. It's right by the Jewel on Ashland in Milwaukee. There was like a printing place and this guy owned it and it was just him and his dog. It was a place where you could go in to use the internet, but it wasn't a FedEx. Like imagine a place that you could go into and just use it like an old computer and use the internet.
It was not even an internet cafe. Basically, it was just that this, it should have just been called.
It was, but it was like an internet cafe happened right after the internet became something that people understood, you know.
This guy and his dog were co-owners in this place?
It was like some dude and then his dog would always be sleeping in the like office chair that he had behind the counter because I had to pay him for printing shit, you know. And like there was a FedEx right by me. But I figured like, I'd rather give this guy my money because it's some random guy with like a shop.
I always, when I went into FedEx Kinko's, it was an adrenaline rush for me, right? I mean, look, you go into the kiosk, you know, you put in your money and you never know who was on the computer last or what files were going to be on that desktop. So to a degree, if you're an adrenaline junkie, back in 2004, FedEx Kinko's was the place to go. And now the Florida experience. I think Justin obviously is from Florida. And I kind of wanted to see how your guys' Florida experience compared and contrasted.
When I first moved there, it was like March or April. So like summer was pretty quick, you know, like it's already hot at that point. And I was fucking amazed, dude. And I immediately understood. I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, you know, people talk shit about Florida or there's this like idea of like, whatever, the crazy fucking white trash dude. But I was like, man, like it's so hot and there's bugs biting me and shit. I would definitely cut someone's face off and eat it right now. You know what I'm saying? Like people get fucking weird about like, can you believe that shit happened? And there's like, man, you've never been to Florida then, dude. There's like a million bugs biting you and you're fucking sweating.
Yes.
And you're like, dude, I would just murder an old person right now. I would fucking chainsaw somebody.
Yeah, you got it. That's it. That's part of my theory. Is like that's why people are like that's why all that crazy shit goes on there because you're getting eaten by bugs, it's hotter than hell, and you just get so upset, you're like, I'll just kill anything in front of me at this point.
Like I have to direct this pain that I'm feeling because it's 103 degrees and like I'm sweating in a way that makes me feel like I'm dying. And then like, you know, there's like there's like an ant or some fucking random shit that's biting my leg in a way that like, it's like already swelling.
Yep.
You worked in a factory and you actually seen somebody just get, well, essentially I'm going to put it vaporized. I mean, when you see something like that, what do you do? I mean, I think you said he got crushed by some metal device.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I wasn't actually there for that. That happened like a week before I got to that place. Mm. And the guy who was training me told me about it. Like it was a place I was working at where they basically, you would work on a machine and they would feed, I think it was 5 tons. It was like a 5-ton spool of metal that they rolled up and like they would feed to the back of the machine. But like a week before I started working at, the guy who was training me told me that this dude was helping unload one from a truck and it fucking fell sideways and just killed him, man, like crushed him.
You say it because, you know, a lot of your jobs have included garbage, and you say out of this, a lot of artistic creations have came out of Florida. And by the way, Sam, if you don't know this number, you should. Do you know how many times, because of Florida, Justin has been at the VMAs?
My guess would be 3.
Oh, I don't even know. It's probably 3.
It's just so much to count.
I'm trying to figure out how you connected Florida to the VMAs.
Well, because I got into creativity, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I didn't start going to the VMAs until I lived out here. But I guess maybe because I was born in Florida. And then one time they had the VMAs in Miami, even though I didn't go. That connects, right?
That does connect. Yes. And speaking of connections, Sam Pink, who are some of your favorite authors right now? I mean, look, 2013, 2017 circuit, a lot of authors, right? Right now, who are they? Who are some of your favorites? If I said, you know, let's say if we were at a Borders and that still existed, and, you know, I seen you, you know, with your pile of papers, you just came back from Print Planet or FedEx, and I came up to you and right. I said, hey, and, you know, you're wearing a flannel shirt and you go, oh, hey, what's up, man? And I go, well, I'm just starting to read. What are some of your favorite authors right now?
Well, first off, I like the idea of going into a place where there's a lot of books and telling someone, like, I'm thinking about getting into reading, you know?
Right.
I think I might actually do that and see what happens.
I think Young Flamingo Club should be the first to say that, well, actually, I guess Sam is here. Sam Pink is here. That we all want bookstores back with coffee shops in them. I think that's an era that we can all say that we missed.
And internet.
And internet. But some of them didn't have internet, Justin. So you got to remember that. But you're right. Internet at this point in time.
So, yeah, I'm saying I want them to have internet so I can take my AOL. I have, like, I'm looking at it right now. I have a stack of 1, 2, about, say, like 20 AOL CDs right here, and each one has 1,000 hours. So
that's basically the runway we have for the show. After 20,000 hours, we're done. And Sam, do you ever, you know, when you're walking down the street or go into a bookstore, I mean, must feel pretty good, right? I mean, because, you know, you're looking at people, and, you know, they're looking at books, and you got to think to yourself a little bit, come on, like, I have better taste. You know, I'm way better taste than this person. Let's be real. Let's just be real.
I think, totally. I look down on everybody all the time. Every fucking moment that I'm in, I see a person and I think a negative thought about them in terms of me, like comparing them to me, you know, like, yeah. Oh, they're driving a Dodge Neon.
Oh, get out of here. Yeah, know? Right. Get out of my
house. Yeah, or whatever. Like, but you get my point. Like, and so obviously being an author, when I'm at a bookstore,
and, it's your home territory. It's your turf.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like, it's fucking, it's basically on at that point.
And let's just say for the sake of it, you see me, right? And you're Sam Pink, you see me. And I have, let's just say David Fishkind's book. I don't know. He seems like an all around just good poet. I mean, what do you think then? You say, this guy, what is he doing? Or do you say, okay, well, he may know what's up.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fucking, that would be something. I met that dude. And so if I was at a bookstore and some guy had a book by him, I would, I might mention that just kind of like reflexively, you know?
I'd probably be there too, but I would probably be reading Judy Blume.
If I'm reading like a Tom Clancy Ghost Recon book, you're
yeah,
just,
well,
you know,
here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. Like you probably, you guys probably don't get this because you're not authors, but I am, I'm an author. And so what happens is when you're officially an author, that's after you publish 3 books, you're an author then. They recognize you as an author. Maybe back in the day, it was like 5 and now it's 3, but whatever. But they introduce you to all the other authors, like the big ones, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, like I've met Tom Clancy, obviously, you know?
And then do you look at Tom Clancy in his face when he was alive and be like, you know, you have just no clue about the real world, about my books and just, you know, picking up garbage, you idiot.
Tom Clancy's dead?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much, yes, man. I was like, fuck you, bro. And I like pushed past him to get to good. The dip because it's an author shit. So like there's stacks or whatever. And I was like, bro, whatever, man. You do your spy shit. That's cool. I appreciate that. I know you think you're hot shit and respect, man, because you probably bought a house with book money. You're way cooler than me, obviously. I'm not even going to fucking fool about that shit. I think we all know.
Well, he's dead
when
now.
You write about spies and shit and fucking whatever other shit that he writes about. And don't get me wrong. I think that shit's cool. You know,
it
that's
is
awesome.
Cool. And
guns,
I don't mean
guns and spies and shit. Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, totally like amazed, but, man. And not to talk bad about a dead person. I'm just saying, when you just walk into a room, I mean, if I were you, I mean, you've been published many times. I would just be like, you know, look at how hard I'm working.
Don't, I would say, listen, hey, Tom Clancy. And I'd be making direct eye contact while trying to dump my energy into him, you know, kind of like
trying to avoid the cargo shorts.
Yeah, listen to me, man. Feel me right now. I'm telling you something. And I would just say, listen, man, your spy shit is cool, but I can fucking kick your ass, man.
That's the way
right.
to
you
do
know
it.
What I mean?
Right.
That's the way to do
like,
it.
Like at the end of the day, like at the end of the day, like, dude, like obviously he's made more money than me or fucking whatever.
Yeah, but he's not going to be able to kick your
shit.
Ass. I mean,
no
maybe his
way,
security
dude,
would.
No fucking way. No way. There's no way.
I say we set
I
this
would
up.
Kick his ass so fucking bad, dude. If he's in the same room as me, bro, mm-hmm. forget about it. I'm going to fuck him up, man. You know that.
Yeah. Speaking of fucking shit up and making a lot of money and buying houses off book money, and then I'm going to bring it back to printing and having to go places and print things. Let's get into questions in a bowl, which I don't know if you know or not, Sam, but all these questions are printed out on one of the only Brother printers in the country. It's actually the only one of its kind that still works. And so we print out these questions that we sent you. They're in a bowl right here I have that has a flamingo on the bottom that we think has a microphone and a camera in it.
CIA.
And so I'm going to pull out these random questions and I'm going to ask you one of these
That's
questions.
That's some Tom Clancy shit, yo.
Right.
Well, we've been in touch with Tom recently and he might write a book about this whole thing. So just to be clear, we've been in touch with Tom Clancy via seance. So this,
hey man, whatever you guys got to do, you don't have to fucking tell me, man. If you've been talking to Tom Clancy, that's on you.
I think that single-handedly might be the greatest line anyone's ever said on this podcast. Can you say it? Just say
Listen,
it one
man,
more time.
I'm for real right now. If you guys are talking to fucking Tom Clancy, I don't give a shit, but you don't got to tell me, man.
That's
between you and God.
That's it. That's what we needed. Let's get into questions in a bowl sponsored by Tom Clancy. Here we go. I'm going to pull out the first question and it is, have you ever thought you want to quit what you're doing now and do something else? And if so, what would that be?
Yeah, definitely. All the time. And the thing that it would be would just be walking into the woods and then never coming out.
That's also my dream. Why walk into the woods and never come out? And then would you be alone when you walk into the woods or would you walk in with somebody?
First off, I'm not really sure because I'm just answering your question. Like I've definitely had that thought. I'm not really sure why. I would definitely walk in alone, but I would imagine I would meet somebody, you know. And my friend My dear friend, actually, his uncle did this. His uncle just walked into the woods and then came out like 25 years later to say hi and then went back in.
Wait, is this a
and
true
then,
story?
Like, died there. Yeah, no, like, now my very dear friend, Jeremy Dean. If you don't know who Jeremy Dean is, then fuck you.
He would be Tom Clancy's ass for sure.
Let me put it this way, dude. He wouldn't even have to be, like, okay, obviously I would beat Tom Clancy's ass, but you would, like, watch it happen. Like, you would watch the beating happen. With him, he would do some fucking mind shit. And yeah, dude, he would fall apart like a man who a 5-ton metal spool fell upon, you know?
I was going to say, I think we would like to maybe speak with Jeremy Dean at some point. This is a fascinating story about an uncle that walked
through
the
woods. Oh my God, dude. Listen, let me tell you this.
Yes.
Let me tell you this right now. If you guys have him on this shit, man, I'll fucking pay you.
Done. Let's get on to our second question. Do you know anyone? You ready? Here we go. Do you know anyone that has an uncle who walked into the woods and then for 25 years stayed there and then came out, said hi, and then went back in the woods?
I'm going to have to say yeah on this one, actually.
This is incredible. No one ever has said yes.
Unreal. What if the uncle came out with a stack of papers from FedEx and Print Planet?
And AOL CDs. So everyone that heard that, you know, that was not a real question off our list. I just
real ha ha buddy.
Yeah, I know, right? I killed it. That's, we should just finish now on a high note. Just joking. Okay, so anyways, the real question is, have you ever cried in the shower?
Wow.
No, but I recently found out about that as a phenomenon, though.
What's the phenomenon?
I didn't know that that was a thing, that of crying in the shower.
Yeah, supposedly it's very therapeutic, and that's how a lot of people cope with stress and tragedy and their uncle walking into the woods for 25 years.
It's weird, but I don't really cry that much, man. I feel like it'd probably be good if I did. I've heard a number of people reference crying in the shower as a thing because then it covers up the fact that you've been crying, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, the water in the water, people wouldn't know. They wouldn't know if it's tears or Johnson shampoo that's tearless.
Or vaccine. But no, I mean, look, no, you can still tell their eyes are a little red. I mean, if they're doing, you know, that breathing thing when you start crying, I can't do it, where it's like, you know, whatever they do. But yeah, I mean, I haven't heard of this phenomenon, but it doesn't surprise me that it exists.
Anyways, let's go to our third question. That's right. Third question. Oh, you've sort of answered this one, but I think I'll ask you again. The favorite place you've ever been. Maybe it isn't Florida.
My own mind, man.
Hey, that works. There's no wrong answer. Maybe Tom Clancy's house.
It does overlook a beach.
When I was at Tom Clancy's house, I beat his ass at Papa Shop basketball. And then I was like, just to make sure, let me see physically if I could beat your ass. And then sure enough, I mean, dude, he's like fucking 63 at this point, you know?
So you're using that as a proxy to see, you know, what this guy's situation is, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like writing, like in terms of being an author, 63 is like kind of prime. You're not really doing shit, you know? You're just kind of sitting around. Right. You might as well fucking put some shit down, you know?
Yeah, you know what? Right. You know, I was going to say, you know what 63 also is prime for?
What's that?
Coming back out of the woods to say hi.
I mean, I tell you one thing, man. If I'm in the woods for like 20 years, I'm going to come out with something.
As Sam Pink, what do you think you'd come out with? Because this is fascinating to me. What do you think you'd come out with after, let's just say, 30 years in the forest? You're roaming around.
Yeah, I'd have to imagine that after that period of time, I'm not coming out, you know?
It's just over.
I kind of respect my friend's uncle for like being like, well, you know, we'll make one more trip out.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of the story, is that he came out just to say hi and then went back in, and then no one ever saw him again.
It's like, you know, those people that, you know, haven't been on Facebook in a while, and, you know, they check in and say hi, and then, you know, they go another year without logging in.
That's why I'm going to turn my Facebook page into a couples page, but it's not even going to be me. It's going to be a different couple.
This reminds me that I joined a website with my girlfriend at one point. It was like couples work or some shit.com, it's where they post jobs that couples can do. Like, it's like, oh, we have like a winter bed and breakfast and we need someone to like check people in and like fucking sweep and shit.
Justin, what is the next question? I hope it's more about the woods.
It is more about the woods, because that's where you would go if you got canceled. So the question is, Sam, you like how I spun that? It took me a minute to get there. So here it is. Who or what do you think is getting canceled next?
Man, I don't even know, dude. Whatever. Who gives a fuck?
Perfect.
I don't care.
So who gives a fuck?
I don't give a shit.
So let's review. The people you said are getting canceled are who gives a fuck and who gives a shit. They're both getting canceled.
Without question, man. Put them on the chopping block. Who gives a fuck and who gives a shit? You're done.
So their career's over. Their agents are now leaving them. And that's it. Who gives a fuck and who gives a shit?
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, you guys.
Sorry that I'm not sorry.
Sorry that you're not sorry. And our suggestion to you guys is that you might just want to go live in the woods for 25 years.
Go out to the woods for 20 years with whatever you have and come back after 20 some years and tell me what you think, and we'll figure it out then.
Well, we will.
Can I say one thing right now? Tom Clancy, if you're listening to this, I'm going to fuck your ass up.
All right. Oh, I mean,
just so you know, Tom Clancy is one of our listeners.
You think I'm stupid? I'm just throwing punches in the dark here to Tom Clancy. I know he's listening.
I got a text here from a very well-known, quote-unquote, I guess you call them alt-lit people, and they said that you're kind of like the Floyd Mayweather of fighting other authors. You've never lost a fight.
The Jake Paul.
Saying that someone is the Floyd Mayweather or something is somewhat of an insult if you really know boxing.
Damn. Who should it be? Mike Tyson?
James Toney, but I'm not entering that into the argument, you know?
So let's move on to our next. And this is 1, 2, 3, 4. This is our final question. This one, as I pulled it, and as you were talking about whooping Tom Clancy's ass, I was like, this question, I'm dying to ask you this question because I'm dying for your answer. And I think everyone listening to this podcast is going to be, their ears just perked up because when they hear this question asked in anticipation of your answer. So here we go. This is it. The final question is, what would the plotline elevator pitch be for a reality show about your life?
It would be me and Tom Clancy, 3 minutes. What happens? You know what the fuck happens.
Yeah, I love this.
I'm fucking cleaning the floor with that ass.
Yeah.
If we like rented out like a spot and we're like, hey, we're inviting fans here, he would obviously do better than me.
Okay, but here's another scenario. You guys are both on the beach, right? And he's like with, you know, some hot chick, some model. Obviously you could like, you know, take his date because the model wouldn't be interested in Tom Clancy. Yeah, like still Mr. Still Your Girl.
Oh, dude, come on, man. Easily.
Sam Pink, for everyone who is listening, is single, all the ladies out there. He can beat Tom Clancy's ass and he likes to print paper. So, I mean, there you have it.
Definitely. And I'm not easy to get along with.
Let's review. You would beat Tom Clancy's ass. And you're not easy to get along with.
Many times.
Yeah. Easy.
And I want to throw this in is, you know, just a bonus to the plot line of the show. He has a friend whose uncle goes in the woods and then comes out every 25 years to say hello.
You can joke about that. You can joke or whatever, or say whatever you want.
No,
but the reality is that my power, my energy as a human being has attracted a person whose uncle essentially denied the trappings of modern society and went into the woods and survived. I mean, let's Let's pull the reins back for a second here, okay? Imagine surviving for 2 months in the middle of nowhere, okay? This man survived 2 decades. I don't know what this motherfucker ate, but he survived.
I'm sorry, what you just said, the beginning right there, I think that needs to be included in the elevator pitch. Your energy attracted someone like that into your life, because that is a fascinating show. I mean, that's better than Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
You're going to pull some interesting hombres into your orbit. You know what I'm saying? Dudes like Tom Clancy, whose ass I could kick easily 10 times over, right? You put him and me into a fucking small area and say, listen, whatever man can use his natural ability to survive, right? You take him back to my age. I'm 37 right now, right? I'm about to turn 38, okay?
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's about a couple, 3 weeks away, right?
Happy early birthday.
But I'm saying, thank you. I appreciate that. It means a lot to me. If you rewind Mr. Clancy, there's no way that he would be able to sustain himself physically against me.
So the show pitch is, it's Survivor with Sam and Tom and a dead Tom Clancy.
Right. So there's three people, you know, one is dead already on Survivor, but he's surviving. And now, Sam, quickly here, again, I know you're a busy man, but would you make a kebab or what would you do? How would you defeat him in Survivor in the Woods?
If you're asking how I would survive against Tom Clancy.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm
asking.
The
answer is...
A dead Tom Clancy.
Yeah, dude, I would directly confront him. I would directly confront him. It wouldn't be like, hey, good luck on your mission.
Next Ghost Recon book.
Making your fire or collecting berries or whatever. I would simply walk over to his encampment or whatever he had going, and I would eliminate him as a potential threat in any way. I mean, listen, striking, okay, I got you. Grappling, no problem.
Right.
What I'm saying is, you put me and Tom Clancy on an island and say, listen, this is the guy that you're up against, and I'm taking his ass out fucking real quick.
This has been absolutely amazing. I think this is one of my favorite episodes we've ever recorded.
I really do agree. And you know what, Sam Pink, I really do appreciate you coming on. And I definitely think if you had a good time, which it seemed like you did, you should really come back. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything at all? I mean, I'm looking at your artwork on Twitter. It is pretty sick. In fact, I'm actually going to get a piece.
I want to say thank you to you gentlemen, because quite frankly, the Old Flamingos are just not doing it for me.
It's trash.
Yeah. That's why we started this.
And I want to say, have fun as a human being.
All right, yeah, Sam, have a good night, man, and be safe, brother.
Young Flamingo Club. Young Flamingo Club.
All right, well, that was Sam Pink with the Young Flamingo Club. And I think what I found out mostly about Sam Pink is not only would he enjoy someone coming up to him not knowing how to read in a Borders, but secondly, that he would eliminate, not just beat up, but eliminate Tom Clancy from any sort of Survivor match that he had. Man to man, Sam Pink would eliminate him and destroy him. But Justin, you do have to admit, it is pretty solid of Sam Pink to acknowledge that Tom Clancy has done better, you know, financially and, you know, authorship wise.
Do we want Sam Pink in the Young Flamingo Club or do we want Tom Clancy? But, you know, I started thinking about it more. And we have a couple of other authors in David Fishkind, Tao Lin. And, you know, but what we don't have is a badass that will beat the shit out of people. So I think that's why I would vote Sam Pink into the Young Flamingo Club as an honorary guest, because he can be like the heavy. He can be like our security, like anyone messes with us. Yeah. Yeah. He's got the anger. He's got the grit.
he's got the voice. I mean, he's got the voice on spot on. So I definitely think the Young Flamingo Club. Hey, look, other podcast. I'm just going to break it to everybody listening. Hello. They have fixers for them. Okay. We don't have that budget yet. Sam Pink is willing to do it for donuts. Okay. So yes, Sam Pink is going to be a part of the Young Flamingo Club and he's going to be our enforcer and fixer. Okay. Yeah. That's just it. I'm done.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I'm glad he's in. I'm actually going to let Chris Hess from Swim know that we have an enforcer now, and maybe he'll want to join us.
Get Chris
maybe
he'll want out in now. Here.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he wants. He wants protection. So, you know, since he turned us down, I'll let him know that now he'd be safe in the Young Flamingo Club. So he could run security, Sam Pink. So yeah. So I'm excited to have Sam Pink join us. And also if we ever have to move into the woods, he will know how to do that. So,
right. Yeah. And, speaking of woods, we actually do have a 5G setup in the woods because there is probably a big chance Tom Clancy will come looking for us after this episode in his own Ghost Recon form / Rainbow Six, whatever he does nowadays. I don't know. I don't care. But I will tell you this, Tom Clancy, if you come near Justin, Tao, anyone of friends of Young Flamingo, Sam Pink will eliminate you. So just remember that.
I'd like to give a message to Tom Clancy as well. And here's my message to Tom Clancy. Tom Clancy, do not subscribe to this podcast. Do not share this with your friends. And do not give us a 5-star rating.
Listen, Tom Clancy and Tom Clancy fans. Okay. Do not give us a 5-star rating. Do not share with your friends. Don't comment. Don't subscribe. Don't look up our Instagram. Don't Google us. In fact, don't do anything that could theoretically, plausibly, feasibly help the algorithm. Just ignore us and pray that Tom Clancy doesn't get near us because Sam Pink is going to be right there.
And on that note, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, and you've been warned.
It's good. I like it.